We're here today with Drew Riegman, who is a local musician in Abbotsford and a coordinator with Jam and Jubilee. Thanks for being here with us today, Drew. Nice to have you.
Thanks.
Can you start off by telling us what it's going to look like for Jam and Jubilee this year? Because this is an annual music festival that everybody looks forward to. I'm assuming it's going to be an online version or something different this year. What do you have planned?
So for 2020, we made the call pretty early on to move online, just based on the way things were going, and especially some of us with stronger ties to other countries where it was starting to happen a lot quicker. I think we just realized really quickly that it wasn't going to be feasible to bring people together, and not only not feasible, irresponsible.
Right.
In a room. So the workaround in 2020 was doing, we tried to keep it live. That was kind of, I think, the barrier that a lot of festivals were trying to figure out was, oh, do we want to keep it live? Do we want to like call it off? Because I think for some festivals, they just used it as a break. But the big transition going into 2021, and I think kind of one of the harder concepts that we had to swallow trying to do it live in 2020, was that the rewatchability, especially when quality control is out of your hands, is pretty diminished. The communal aspect in 2020 was awesome because I think people engaged in a much stronger capacity than I thought they would. Now that the festival's over, I don't know how many people really want to go and watch a live stream again. Mm. Like that was filmed on somebody's iPhone in their living room of them playing acoustic guitar. So the workaround heading into 2021 that we're going to try, and we've done some trial runs in November, kind of before we went back into like super lockdown mode, is to do a much higher quality pre-filmed performance. So kind of something more akin to like Audio Tree or something like that. Like they're far series. So, and the way to involve community and local businesses has been to film it in those places when they're closed. So before we went back into super lockdown, I don't know if that's the apt
super lockdown. I think that's the appropriate term.
Yeah, but what we did was we're filming them in like places like Old Hand Coffee and places like Raven's Brewing. So the communal aspect, we were able to have a workaround by filming the performances in community spaces. And I think that's something that we're going to look like to try and do more in 2021, is kind of pre-film more of it. But that planning just lends to a much better quality control, and something that the musicians are a lot more proud of. And then something we also tried to integrate, because Jam and Jubilee is more than just a music festival. It's like community vendors, it's artists, is by having it at the businesses, we can like, I'm going to go back to Old Hand Coffee. If somebody like them usually has a vendor booth at Jam and Jubilee, by having it filmed in their business and kind of having them co-present or co-sponsor, it keeps them involved. And we also, on a couple of them, worked with some visual artists in the Valley and had them set up sort of quasi set design. I'm hesitant to use the word set design because I'm like not in the film world at all, but I don't know what the more apt term would be to describe how we're trying to get their involvement. And then also having a unique poster designer for every single show who's a Valley artist. It's just all about trying to find a workaround to try and get as much involvement as possible from the community still while being separated. We're going to roll out a couple, like a soft launch, essentially, in February with like a mini series of some of the ones that we've filmed. It's so contentious right now heading into 2021 because so many people are being really pumped with this information that the vaccine is going to cure everything. And there are people who are like, Jam and Jubilee, back in the park.
Before COVID-19 hit, how large was that event and how many businesses usually got involved?
Jam and Jubilee is such a wild cultural institution in the city because it was incredibly grassroots in its infancy. It started with a couple of people at the Attengard, which is like a community housing project in Abbotsford. Mm-hmm. And it grew to the last year in 2019, when we still had it in the park, to usually around like a 1,600 person event a night with, yeah, maybe 30 local vendors, 5 to 10 food trucks a night. It started like kind of over the last couple of years trying to integrate more of the local breweries and local coffee companies to be in the park for the duration of the nights. And we also started integrating in the last couple of years. There's a local organization called Black Connections, run by a friend of mine named Mark Forcier and a group of his peers. And we had integrated with them to present a series that took place after the event in the park. By 2019, it had become a pretty large event when you look at the past 11 years of the festival and kind of where it got its start. The Arts Council only took it over, I think, 3 years ago. But the funny part about the Arts Council taking it over is most of the people working for the Arts Council are the people who were doing Gem and Jubilee out of the goodness of their hearts for the past 11 years anyways. So it's not like it transitioned to a new group of people. It became a very large event in 2019. So, and 2020 was, we were on track to have, I think, the biggest year for the festival yet. So it was, yeah, it was weird to have that swept out of our feet. We had two headliners. We had two international headliners that I was really, mm-hmm, really excited about that, you know, with the live stream thing, it didn't pan out to even have them do that because we were all still trying to figure out what we wanted to do by the time that usual time frame rolled through.
How do you anticipate being able to like get over that hurdle of reaching your audience, even though they're not able to be in person?
We just had to accept some limitations and accept that you have to kind of develop a new framework for what success is in that avenue. And also that's the reason for transitioning to pre-filming. I think the novelty of watching people perform live wears off pretty fast when they're filming on like an iPhone 6 with the front facing camera and like the audio through that too. I think the novelty wears off kind of fast. It's just figuring out how to make sure that you're integrating a lot of those aspects that you lost by not being able to have it in person. Mm. So like, you know, the booths, the community businesses, the things that people kind of like to engage with at the festival that aren't music. A lot of people come to Jam and Jubilee and they don't care who's actually playing. You know, they'll come from 6 to 8 and more check out the vendors and the local artisans and might be buying prints from visual artists that set up booths. So yeah, engaging with the audience, I think you just have to change the metrics for how you view success. Mm-hmm. And digital marketing also kind of became like a weird key aspect. Yeah, I would say if anybody listens to this and is trying to produce some content, they should just email Gem and Jubilee and I'd be happy to chat